listeners to the first episode of what we're calling Recorder on the Wall, Episode 0. I'm your host, Pete.
I'm your other host, Jeremy.
And I am Matthias 720, administrator for the official Red Ball Forum.
Okay. You already got your plug-in. Good. This is what we're calling Episode 0. We are just kind of having a round table on how we're going to set up the podcast. This isn't an official review yet. We will start that here in June. And hopefully get the episode up in the air before, I would say, end of June. I'm hoping. I gotta read the book first. So.
Yep.
All right,
folks.
I maybe did Brock Tree once. So, yeah.
Oh, I've read it. I've lost track of how many times I've read most of the books.
Well, you've stayed more with the series than I did. I left about, I guess that brings to my first topic. What's our experience here? I found the series in late middle school and stayed with it through most of high school, but once it started to become really formulaic, yes, we will address that as we go across the series. I kind of got tired and moved on to other fiction. So, yeah, I maybe read Brock Tree once. What about you guys? How long have you been with the series?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, go ahead.
Ah, problems!
So I found the series, when was that? That must have been summer of 2000 when the animated series started on PBS. I fell in love with it. School had just let out, and it was like, cool, I can watch more TV now, and oh, what's this show? Oh, it's animals. Wow, this story is really cool. I gotta look into this. Oh, it's a book? And I just fell in love from there, and I have acquired the entire set of books and read through the entire series, save through the last four books, probably at least a dozen times or more.
That's impressive, certainly.
I'm passionate.
Oh, I'm wearing my fandom shirt, core fandom shirt here, so yeah.
For those of you who can't see, which is every single member of our audience, Pete is currently wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle shirt.
I'm a shell head.
Okay. I discovered Red Wall it was right after I finished elementary school. I got Martin the Warrior was my first book.
Same with me.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed it. And then I got The Bellmaker. And I remember the first time I read through it, I was a little thrown off because I knew it visits it, like, you know, from the author of Martin the Warrior, author of Redwall, whatever. But it had, like, nothing to do with Martin the Warrior. I mean, Bellmaker takes place so far after it. I didn't recognize any of the characters or anything. Mm-hmm. And then after that, though, I just started, like, okay, start at the beginning. I saw, like, Mossflower, which I saw was, I think I knew chronologically it was right after Martin. And then just kind of tumble down from there, where I remember in seventh grade, during my winter break, I was sick both weeks of it. And so the first week I read Madame Mayo, and then the second week I read Mariel of Redfall. And I have read and reread most of this series so many times that my copy of Redwall, I actually had to get a second one because the cover fell off.
There you go. My copies are long gone. Unfortunately, I left them to my younger cousins when they were going through the series. The only copy I still have, minus the one we bought when we covered the Redwall animation pilot, is my signed copy of Salamandastron. So, yeah.
Nice.
He was here in St. Louis years ago, so that was kind of awesome. So that's how we all discovered the series. Obviously, some of us are still more involved than others. I'm coming back to it kind of fresh after removed from more than a dozen years at this point. Like I said, I reread the original Redwall when we covered the animation show, just like the first couple of episodes. But I really haven't touched the series since then, so I'm semi-fresh here. So the question was arisen by Jeremy some time ago. Do we want to dedicate a full episode to one book, or do we want to divide it into the three sub-books that comes with each one?
I think it would be best if we split it, just because that's a lot to cover in one episode. And this way we can kind of take it piece by piece, do it like three parts.
Agreed.
It may not be a bad idea. I mean, good podcasts tend not to run more than 2 hours. And if we cover a full book in one episode, we may breach that fairly easily.
Yeah, these are 300-plus page books. So.
Okay.
Plus, with the amount of content within each book, I would think that we'd want to go through and look a little bit more in-depth than just say, here's a Wikipedia summary. Here's what I thought of the book. Oops, we ran out of time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we definitely want to read the summary, but I also want to go into the plot analysis at certain points as well. So, yeah.
I think splitting it up would be the best way to go about that.
Okay. I mean, I don't argue with it. I'm not going to argue with that. Now, obviously, we want to just be more than Jeremy and I talking, which is usually our banter for frustrated fans. But having regular... Yeah. It's not like I'm going to have a link to our other podcast right from the site. I am.
No, of course you would never do something that... Oh, wait, you can't see me winking because I don't have a webcam.
No, you never have. So obviously we want to have regular guests. Ideally, I want to have at minimum 3 people, if not 4. But if we start pushing 5 or 6, God help us, that's going to be a long... To get everyone, let everyone contribute, that's going to take add more time.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 or 4 people, you can get some banter going back and forth, sharing of experiences and whatnot, and really get some time for everybody to talk about their specific views of the material.
Okay. Well, that was easier than I thought. Okay. Yeah, definitely 3 or 4 guests. And as I mentioned in the pre-show before we started recording, we definitely want to link your forum here because the Reddit... where I was hoping keep main experience is kind of quiet, but that's I knew that going in. So, all right, now Jeremy and I debated about this back and forth on whether we want to do publishing order and or chronological. I think we're leaning towards chronological.
Yeah. Chronological could be beneficial, but it depends on what the intention, I think, of how you want to convey the stories. Because if we start at the very beginning and go in chronological order, we miss out on a lot of the stuff that really introduces people into the beginning of the series. Most people interacted either with one of the really early books or the first one to begin with. So,
I mean, the second book I read in the series was the original Redwall, so you have a point.
So... maybe go in, start with Redwall, followed by Madame Mao, simply because it's the direct sequel, and then start back at the beginning with the lore of Lord Rocktree, and then into Martin the Warrior, etc.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Jeremy?
I think that's a good idea, especially as also Redwall, since it was the first one, there was a lot of stuff in that book that's not in the other ones. Like, there's random
the
things
horse.
Like saying that. Yeah, there's like little lore and things that aren't in the other books just because the world was still being built. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea.
Spain. Yeah.
Yeah, where they say like that Clooney might be a Portuguese rat at one point. And there's a horse in it, which I don't think there's horses in any of it.
Yeah, they don't really define that very well. Even the kind of animated series tries to gloss over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone within the first, 2 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. And I'm okay with that, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think that's a good idea, because since Redwall was the start of it all, we can show, like, where the series started, like, how everything began. But also, just we can also keep in mind, as we're doing chronological order, it eventually turns into publishing order.
Yeah, it does.
At the very end.
Once we hit Triss, it just kind of, or I think that's the one right after Brocktree.
I think you're, Brocktree was the last, like, prequel novel.
Oh, no, wait, well, Tagarung is the
it
first
It was Tagarung, and then it went into Triss.
Yeah. And so once we hit Tagarung, it's going to be in publishing order anyway.
Tagarung's actually where I left the series, so.
I left off, Rackety Tam was the last one I read in full, and then when I came back to the series, I read Hyrulane, and then I read, and almost regret reading Doomwhite, because that book is messed up.
Yeah, that's an odd one.
Oh, I'm looking forward to when we get to it, then.
That one is dark.
Think so Madame telling Mayo, me, but like 10 times worse.
So you're saying the author had a Tarantino phase, so...
I think he was, I don't know if he was angry or something, or he just watched like a horror film and then decided, maybe I can incorporate that into the series, but yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Okay. Well, noted.
One thing I was thinking about that I kind of would like to do is as we go, when we get to each book, we take that villain and kind of compare them back to the previous book chronologically, or just the previous villains that we've seen. Just kind of do like a comparison and see how each one kind of measures up.
Okay. I like the sound of that.
Let me add that to the segments. I think we need a better term than bag and measure up, but that's just what I'm going to write down for the
segment. Oh, yeah, that's just off the top of my head. And then also we could do that with like the main protagonist of each one, if there is like a central protagonist for each one, because I know some of them is more like groups of characters.
Oh, right.
Like Madame Mayo was, there was no real central main character of that one. They were all, for the most part, they were kind of equally featured.
Mm-hmm. Well, it follows that thing where it's, some of the books have that central main protagonist that we follow, and then you got all the beast and sea stories that follow afterwards.
Right.
But in Madame Mayo, and a couple of other books where it's, you have groups of characters that form the protagonists of the A story, the B story, the C story, and then you watch that unfold.
Yeah, like Bellmaker was one of those too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it worth bringing in reference to TV tropes when we cover these things? Like certain things
absolutely.
That they point out?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we made a whole podcast episode of just going over what we call the superhero mutant team TV trope, and that was a lot of fun.
And that's how we discovered.
Don't say it. No.
We discovered a very weird show through that.
A little weird?
A little weird. Oh, we discovered something very bizarre and odd. I don't know.
Do I dare ask?
Japan made a series that followed the whole Ninja Turtles trope with five T-Rex brothers set in the 1920s. With magical powers. I am not making any of this up.
Oy.
And it is bizarre. And I'm saying that's...
Like, the worst jokes you've ever heard. Like, the one positive of it was they got, like, an all-star voice cast where, like, half the cast of Beast Wars was in this show.
God. Yeah. Thanks for that. Whose suggestion was that? Was it yours or mine?
What?
T-Rex.
T-Rex?
That we had to cover.
I think it was when we were going... you and I were prepping for the Mutant Team episode.
Right.
And then when we found out about that monstrosity, like, we just looked at the opening to it, and I think I might have suggested it first, but I know we both agreed, like, we should just dedicate its own episode. And then we immediately regretted it after we watched, like, 5 minutes of the first episode.
Yes, we did.
Mistakes were made.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, they were. So we'll put a segment in each episode. What does TV Tropes have to say?
Yeah. Regrets, I've had a few.
Okay, and then before we go back to segments, how often do we touch on the animated series? I was thinking it was going to be a good way to break up reading book after book after book. Now and then.
Well, since there were the three books that were covered, Redwall, Madame Mayo, Martin the Warrior, at least for the beginning, if we were to add on Martin the Warrior to the first three books covered, in between each three-episode covering of a book, we could toss in talking about the animated series that followed.
I like that.
It's a possibility. Like I said, I was kind of keeping it in reserve, like when we need a break from doing a book. Mm-hmm.
Well, we could always cover topical content. I was thinking about how rich the world is. And I mean, I'm sure we could probably cover an entire episode just talking about food.
Oh my god,
This is true.
I mean, the only other author I've ever met that actually does this much with food is freaking George R.R. Martin. So.
There's a reason there is a trope and subreddit dedicated to food porn.
I think there's a reason why there's at least one page dedicated to fan-made Redwall recipes. I think there was a book released for it, too.
Yeah,
right?
There was a cookbook.
Yeah, right. I might need to get that. I attempted to... one of my friends and I attempted to make a couple of the things we found online. Two out of three turned out okay. We tried making not really scones, but like oat cakes, and those turned out really well. We tried making kind of like a root beer float version of the shrew beer, and it turned out really well. Then we tried making the hot root soup. We nicknamed it the devil's urine.
Oh my god.
It was awful.
Well, you have to automatically like spicy food to even attempt that. Then you have to have a love for seafood and stew.
Okay, yeah. We are going to have to do a food episode then.
Yes.
I'm not making
that again, by the way.
No, I'm not suggesting you do. I'm suggesting that's definitely we want to bring in community, as many communities as we can, because I'm sure they'd love to go talk about that kind of thing.
I say we each bring a dish to that.
That's a little trouble when you're in California and I'm in Missouri.
I meant like we each make our own dish and like just, if people are together, they can share it. But like each of us say like, oh, I made this and it turned out this way. Like I could say, well, I tried making the hot root soup and it'll be great for keeping dogs out of the lawn. I don't know.
God.
Scare away those pesky squirrels.
Pretty much.
Oh, wait.
For some reason, there are now otters all around my house. I don't know why.
I'm in the middle of the country. Where did they come from?
Why are they slinging stones on my windows?
I have moles burying into my basement. Where did they come from? Oh, wait, it's the deeper never in turnip and tater and beetroot pie. I gotta keep that out of the basement.
Yeah.
I don't even have a basement. Oh, I do now.
And then giant sinkhole.
Yep.
Yeah. Alright. And then, that being said, the other thing I want to do is have guests more, who, like, whether fan artists, certainly, or even fan musicians. I'm a little leery of fan fiction directly because long before Jeremy and I did any kind of podcast, one of our favorite things to do was to delve into the bowels of fanfiction.net and find the craziest crap you can imagine.
I had the knack for finding the worst things known to man on there.
Yes, you did.
It was a specialty. I might have a mutant power, but all it does is let me find terrible fan fiction.
Well, that's in contrast to my mutant power, which is I talk about food and I make people hungry. So I think we might have something here. The podcast could definitely go to some interesting places.
It could. I mean, the whole genesis of this was me listening to Morph Club on my commute from work, which is a complete review of the Animorph series from start to finish by two women, which... in the podcasting world, it's like 9 to 1 men to women, so that was kind of unique in itself. And two, it was like, oh, this isn't a bad idea. I wonder what I can do with it. So, and that being said, yeah, they've drawn their own little community. They're working with the existing Animorphs community, so that's kind of why, you know, again, it gets a good idea.
Better to work with something that's already there than try to create something new from scratch.
Correct. So, one of the segments I'm going to bring in, if only because this drove me nuts as a kid, and I've even seen the website's official language is deliberately vague, is how anthropomorphic are they?
In some ways, I'd probably rather not know.
I'm going to make a joke out of it, all right? All right. I'm going to be playing, like, Monty Python Flying Circus as song with, and then it just kind of like, right, and say, like, because the series really goes back and forth, and the animated is complete anthro, so.
Yeah. Well, it's another thing going back to the first book where it's a little bit more vague. Like, I remember there's a specific moment where it says Constance gets up on her hind legs, which means she's normally walking around on all fours. But then later on, none of them really do. And yet there are some animals that are kind of more, I don't know, the best term for it is, like, I guess, animal-like, like the sea lions in Pearls of Lutra.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I completely forgot about them.
Yep.
Hmm.
Do not ask me to try to imitate them. I'm not going to.
No, we're not going. The other thing is, I'm going again, and Matthias, you brought this up in our chats on Reddit. Yeah, we're gonna, and I've talked to Jeremy about this, is we're going to be a little bit more strict with ourselves on language and tone on how we approach this. We censor ourselves anyway, most of the time.
We do a pretty good job of that on our other podcast, but that one we consider a bit more like PG-13, and we've decided to have at least one uncensored episode a year.
Only when something truly makes us mad.
Like the entirety of 2016.
Well, yeah, there was that.
The
other one was the Power Rangers Christmas episode.
Oh, God. Yeah, where I had we create Google Docs, and I had a complete and utter meltdown while trying to watch it, and just put, like, writing the most heinous stuff, getting so angry, and Pete's, like, response for when he first read that was just, I read your, and then in quotes, notes. but for this one, and also I agree on this, because I look at this, because this is something like from my childhood and stuff too, but I look at the series, it's more, obviously, you know, it's like PG with sometimes slightly more violence. I think Doom White might be considered PG-13, but
entire series that just, you stop and you look at it, it's like, you know, if they did that in live action, that would get a hard R rating just for how bloody it is.
Yeah, and also, how if they used real swear words instead of the made-up ones.
Yeah, that too.
It's kind of like Beast Wars, where it's like the most violent show ever, but since they're robots, nobody really takes notice of it.
Or certain other Transformers series. Yeah.
Yeah.
They come up with their own curse words.
Yeah. Beast Wars did that too. They had their own. So, like, Rat Trap in anything else would be the most foul-mouthed character ever. And he still kind of is, because he gets in those little adult comments. He makes a sex positions joke at one point, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Boy. And like I said here, I want to lean to the PG side, but I cannot, I'm telling you now, I'm going to make jokes like, apparently they reproduce by osmosis, because where else do the constant vermin hordes come from? They get decimated every book or so, and then suddenly they're back in the hundreds next time.
Yeah, so, or in the Long Patrol, the thousand.
Yeah.
Land beyond the setting sun is obviously nothing but a giant alien hive where they just reproduce like insects. And then they just pop out of chrysalises, and it's like, okay, let's go. Dominates and crush all that stands before us.
Yeah.
The only book I can think of off the top of my head, at least of the ones I've read, there's still a couple I haven't read, which I'm planning on reading those for the first time for the podcast. They're rather get my, like, raw reaction. The only one I can think of where there are two vermin parents and a child is Outcast of Redwall.
Yeah, Swart. Not Swart,
Yeah, it's Swart.
Swart. And Vale with mother/wife Bluefin.
Yep.
The only time I've ever seen a female that's not some sort of cutthroat assassin.
Bellmaker had the battle couple.
This is true.
But it was more slap, 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 eventually kiss.
Yeah, Fox Wolf. And I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Not off the top of my head either. And then, I mean, there's always been a couple of token female vermin, but it's never, like, anything more than just main villain, captain to main villain, or random horde beast.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, usually, and sometimes most of the female villains have been, like, the foxes. like Tarsmania, like in Mossflower and also in Outcast of Red Wall.
Also in Metal Fox.
Yeah,
that's one of the. We do know there was a dad. We don't know what happened to him other than he's dead. So.
Yeah.
Well, if we go on the assumption that they are somehow insectoid in origin, maybe he was catalyzed.
Oh, God.
Bowered the Paw Director.
Praying Mantis style.
Yep.
Well, even on the flip side, the, quote, good classes, there's what few parents we do get, you know.
There's a lot of orphans in these books.
Yeah, there is. And
surprising amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. And
like in Bellmaker, there's a ton of kids, but you don't see any of their parents.
One of the books outright implies that the Abbey's stocked with only old people and young kids, and then suddenly by the end of it, they have able body, and it's like, okay, where do they come from?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So that's what the Abbey Gardens are for.
Yeah. Oh my God. Cabbage Patch style? Is that going to be our running joke then?
they're
Well, we don't have any swans, and I don't think the bats leave their caves. It's obviously, they find them in the Cabbage Patch.
There we go.
That's good. Well, it's better than a stork myth anyway. So.
Than the what myth?
A stork.
Oh,
the stork
myth. Well, the storks would be main characters of the story then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was the Warden of Marshwood Hill.
Hmm.
He is the law, and maybe the law is some sort of obscure reference to the fact that, hey, we make sure that you get to where you're supposed to be, so listen to us.
the law of the jungle.
We're going to have to make a Judge Dredd reference. You know we are.
I was thinking that, too. I was going to apologize ahead of time for making at least one, I am the law.
That's going to be our voice for the character when we get to him.
Follow me through the marsh. I am the law. It's funny because I have to like distort my mouth whenever I do that, like move my jaw to the side. I'm going to be in a lot of pain when we get through that episode.
Well, we can record you once and then kind of repeat it as necessary.
So it'll be like the robot, Roadrunner with Meep. Don't you mean Meep, Meep? No, but they only recorded it once and then doubled it. Cheap bastards.
We'll figure it out. We'll definitely start with Redwall and then go from there. All right. I got more to do with... You saw the website. There's a little bit more yet to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll start. Let's shoot for having the book read by... Let's say, what is June? I'm looking at the calendar here. June 16th, that Friday.
Okay.
And then we'll record either that weekend or the weekend after. And
I can
flex edit.
We'll have a Google Doc set up for that, too, so we can add our notes as we go.
Okay. And Matthias, when do you want to start posting to your board? Do you think it was a good idea?
Well, as soon as this is... edited and ready for upload, just let me know and I can have a topic created very quickly.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to probably do it this next week. I'm going to edit. There doesn't sound like we need to do much editing from what I'm hearing, but other than some maybe audio levels, but I'll definitely go through that. I'll try and get it done by Friday.
Okay.
So, and we'll go from there. All right. Is there any other points I missed or any other ideas for a segment you guys have?
There's the fact that every book has, you know, some sort of large epic climax, so before we, you know, go in, we need to, you know, talk about the big climactic finale.
The Riders of Rohan or something? Yeah.
Yeah, it was like every single one will either have... I've noticed that they either will have the big giant battle where there's at least one one-on-one fight or a couple one-on-one fights, or they have just like the big one-on-one fight at the end. Like, Mossflower was just Martin and Sarmina. And then Redwall was kind of like a mixture of that where it's everybody fighting, but it's mainly focused on Matthias and Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then there's the Long Patrol, which is just all-out war.
Army versus army. Who will win? Well, of course we know who's going
to
win.
Oh, okay. Are we going to have to do, like, a fake trailer kind of thing?
In a world where two sets of armies are locked into a large battle, who will win?
where the spawn of the insectoid aliens face off against the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh my god.
Okay, we definitely have to have something along those lines.
Oh my god. At least for one or two of the books, yeah.
Oh yeah. In a world, one mouse will make a difference. And then, like, for Mossfire, in a world, one mouse will make a difference. Again.
Are you sensing a pattern with the third movie?
Here we go.
Like that, it'd be like that fake fake Ben Stiller movies from the start of Tropic Thunder.
That's what I'm just saying. Here we go again. Again.
I like that idea. All right. Nah, this is good.
And you watched him as he did it 6 more times.
What's that that fake horror movie trailer? The sociopathic killer who goes very, very slowly and is just slapping the guy with a spoon.
Well, I didn't see that.
You're going to have to share that because I've never seen that.
I haven't seen that.
It's basically just this supernatural monstrosity zombie thing in a hoodie that's just chasing this guy with a spoon and just hits him over and over again with a slow, painful...
Man, Freddy Krueger's lost his touch, you know.
That's the PG Freddy Krueger. He can't use knives.
Oh, no, better yet, it's the animated series, the 80s, made of Freddy Krueger. Like they did for all the other R-rated properties.
I could just see that it ends with, here's Freddy!
Oh, God. And it sounds like, from what we hear, Matthias, we're both born 84, so it sounds like you're a little younger than we are.
Yeah, 90.
Yeah. You missed some of the most bizarre cartoons to come out of the 80s. Not because the plots wasn't bad, because literally they took, in the 80s, they took R-rated properties like frickin' RoboCop.
And
or
Conan.
And made them for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And made them for kids. Yeah.
I've seen the toys.
Oh, my God. there was a Rambo cartoon.
Closest thing I have is... grew up with my dad showing me episodes of The Tick.
Nice. Apparently there's a new one coming to Netflix for that, so.
Well, I know Amazon had a... I don't know if it's still going, but they had, like, a Tick series going on.
Yeah. I'm going to stop recording then. I think we're good. Unless
all right. Well, okay. Everyone, looking forward to episode 1.
Woo! We'll see you in a few weeks.